Be here this morning. It feels really good. This is our first time to worship at Lombard Mennonite Church. And it feels a little bit overdue because there are so many connections between Goshen College and this congregation, in addition to Bart Miller, who is on our board of directors. Ann Venderly is one of my vice presidents. Her husband, Pat Venderly, is chairing the board of College Mennonite Church on the campus of Goshen College, where Kevin and I our members, and Patrick Ferran recently joined our business department, and I believe he has roots in this congregation too. So just to name a few, both of our children live in Chicago, so it's nice to be here, and they are also very connected to and affected by the political events that are unfolding in Chicago, and we feel very connected to you as we in Goshen at the college and at College Mennonite Church work in solidarity with our immigrant neighbors and members. And we know that communities of faith in Chicago are doing that work as well. So it feels good to be with you this morning. The scripture this morning is the story of the lost sheep, and it's a personal and family favorite, in part because of a children's storybook that our family acquired somehow when the children were very little, and by now it is ragged. It's a beloved one. Our children are now 29 and 27 years old, and after all these years of growing up together as a family, this remains one of those books that we all make references to, and in particular, the rendering of this story. We love it. Seriously, this book lives on my nightstand. I pulled it out of the basement a few years ago when I needed to be just closer to some things that ground me. It's one that I read at night when I need assurance. This morning's story is one of three stories Jesus told on losing and finding. The other two are the woman and the lost coin and the prodigal son. And I'm going to tell the story again in the words of this book by Nick Butterworth and Mick Inkpen. I want to make sure that I... Do I need to turn this on too? I probably do. There we go. Ah! With their illustrations for children on the slides. But I'm going to further illustrate Jesus' parable with grown-up stories from today. Here is a shepherd. He has 100 sheep. He is counting them. Now we are introduced to two of the three main characters in this story, the shepherd and the flock. Guess who the third character is? The lost sheep, the one who has become disconnected from the flock. As we listen to this story, let's imagine ourselves in all of the characters. We are the shepherd. We are the flock. We are the lost sheep. So the shepherd knows the sheep. They make him smile, and he wants to make sure that they are all there. And the sheep like being together. That's what sheep do. They find a flock to belong to. But one of his sheep is missing. Oh dear, where has it gone? The flock is sad, and the shepherd is worried. This is a story of loss, sadness, worry, grief, fear. You know what? If the shepherd did not care, if he did not count and notice, they would still be happy. But when we are the shepherd, we care. We notice. Who is missing? Who has become disconnected from the flock? Who is in need of safety? And we are certainly living through hard times. Many forces are working to disconnect people from the flock. I'm going to tell you a story that requires me to remind you of some terrible violence that took place in 2019. This is a hard story to hear, but no harder than the things happening now. You might remember that on 15 March 2019, two consecutive mass shootings occurred in a terrorist attack on two mosques in Christchurch, New Zealand. The attacks were carried out by a lone gunman who entered one mosque and then another during the Muslim holy time of Friday prayer. 51 people were killed and 40 were injured. The police arrested the gunman as he left the second mosque and was heading to yet a third mosque. He was a 28-year-old man who had published a manifesto about white supremacy prior to the attacks. When the news of the Christchurch mass shooting reached Goshen College, we reached out personally to each of our Muslim students and later gathered at the Peace Pole where our student ministry leaders led a lament for the victims with tears, prayer, and singing. Our students sang and prayed in English, and then a Palestinian student, Yazan Mekbil, read a prayer for God's mercy in his mother tongue of Arabic. But he couldn't finish the prayer because he was overcome by his grief. And so while one of our Latino students put his arm around Yazan, a white student from Ohio finished his prayer for him, reading the English translation. The next day, I received an email from Yazan. He wrote, "Thank you so much for your thoughtful email, presence at the vigil yesterday, and prayers. It has been a very troubling and scary time for me and my family. I was becoming fearful of staying in the U.S. and had growing anxiety mixed with sorrow and pain until I felt the support and love from those who attended the service yesterday. Despite the hatred and ignorance that's expressed by many people, the support and love that many more people show are what has helped me and my fellow Muslim students to keep going. This support is what matters. Goshen College has shown a great understanding of other faiths and a deep commitment to inclusion on various levels. May God's peace be with you. Salam, shalom. Yazan Mekbil." Shepherds notice who is becoming separated. We care, we act. And so the shepherd keeps looking. Is it in the hen house? No. Is it behind the haystack? No. Is it under the hedge? No. It is lost. All day the shepherd looks for his sheep. He climbs up hills and scrambles over rocks. We have been through so much in the past several years. During the pandemic, we learned about the importance of self-care. And I believe that the current environment requires something more from us than self-care. It requires us to be the shepherd. The threats to our immigrant, LGBTQ, and Medicaid-dependent neighbors require solidarity, which is the art and practice in sharing in another's struggle. These times require us to actively look out for one another, to seek and find each other in new ways. And this will require energy and sustained effort. The shepherd crawls through bramble bushes. The thorns scratch him, but he will not give up. He is tired and hungry. His feet ache, but he will not give up. Here's another story. 4 months ago, in late November, Goshen residents reported that Ku Klux Klan flyers had been distributed around the city. The flyers were signed by a chapter of the KKK, the Trinity White Knights, who have members across various Midwest and Southern states. Similar incidents and flyers were reported in neighboring cities as well, including South Bend. Victor Vegas, A student at Goshen College from Venezuela said he first heard about the flyers Sunday night when two friends appeared as he was leaving his dance class downtown. Victor was surprised to see them. They said, "We didn't want you to get attacked. We wanted to make sure you were safe." And Victor said, "What do you mean?" Victor's friends were the shepherds, seeking and finding him to keep him safe, even before he knew of any danger. At last, the shepherd sees his sheep. It has fallen in the river. The shepherd dives into the water. Splash! This shepherd is not afraid of diving into the water. Here's another story. This story began in November 2002. The U.S. was actively discussing an invasion of Iraq in response to the 9/11 terrorism attacks. Mennonites in Goshen were actively protesting this war with downtown demonstrations and letters to the editor of our local paper. Dana Schmucker wrote an impassioned letter in response. Dana was a soldier's mother who was fed up with Goshen, Indiana's local pacifist rhetoric and the lack of support she felt for her son. I quote her words, "I would ask all of you to stop and consider what your harsh words in the paper mean to a soldier who is sitting in a remote location, reading his hometown newspaper, and seeing such a painful lack of support for his troops. While you enjoy your holiday season, please have some compassion for those of us who won't be together for the holidays. We would prefer your prayers rather than your criticism." November 7, 2002, in the Goshen News. Meanwhile, at Goshen College, Professor Carolyn Schrock-Schenk had the practice of assigning her students the exercise of listening to the other, someone with opposite views to themselves. She was also one of the organizers of the local war protests. Carolyn read the letter and just knew what she had to do. Carolyn called Dana and invited her to meet over coffee so she could understand more fully why the pacifist letters were so painful to read and to hear more about Nick, Dana's son serving in Afghanistan. They met for 2 hours. Nearly half of the time was spent getting to know each other and connecting personally. Then Carolyn asked Dana how she experienced the letters and the anti-war movement as a military mom. Carolyn very quickly realized that the peace protests need to make the link stronger, that opposition to war is actually a support of American troops abroad, not only a support of Iraqi citizens. After sharing with each other and recognizing that they are both mothers of sons, they share religious connections, and they both want peace for the world, the women decided to write a joint letter to the editor. Quoting from the letter that Dana and Carolyn wrote to the Goshen News, quote, "We knew that we were on opposite sides when we agreed to meet for coffee, but talking felt like the right thing to both of us. What we both know, at a very deep level, is that we want Nick and the others like him to come home safely. We believe that our God of love is present with each one all the time, no matter where they are or which side of a war they are on. We will continue to respond to the current situation in ways that we feel called to respond, but we will do so with some differences since our meetings. It is our hope by writing this letter we can encourage others to see that it is possible to agree to disagree without disrespect or malice. I, Dana, will respect and understand in a new way those who want to prevent this war. I will ask them to remember our sons and daughters who are trying to do the right thing and who are risking their lives to do so. I believe our troops need to know that we love them and support them, whether or not we support the war in which they are fighting. I, Carolyn, will continue to oppose this war with a new awareness of how much pain and fear and love military members and their families experience. Nick and his family and others like them will be part of my awareness in a new way as I respond to my personal call to peacemaking. I understand more deeply that at bottom, we want so many of the same things: peace, security, a world of promise for our children. It is these concerns that lead me to oppose this and other wars. November 24, 2002, in the Goshen News. This is solidarity in the making, reaching outside the gates and across boundaries, learning to see and know the world, ourselves, and other people in such a way that love and reconnection become possible. May we not be afraid to dive into these deep waters, because in the midst of this story comes the rescue, the restoration, the reconnection. Hooray! The shepherd has found his sheep. Time for a party. Now the story turns to celebrating and rejoicing. In these times, may we take time to savor the joy of reunions and reconnections, large and small. We are happy to be here with you today. The new Anabaptist Community Bible entitles the whole chapter of Luke, this whole chapter 15 of Luke, Occasions for Celebration. Jesus says, God is like the shepherd. He loves us just like the shepherd loves his sheep. Losing and finding is part and parcel of being human. We are lost. We are found. We become separated. We struggle to restore connection. This is not once and done. It happens again and again and again. And God is constantly recasting this story. We are the flock. We are the lost sheep. We are the shepherd. How is God casting this story around our holiday celebrations this year? How might we create reconnection and new occasions for celebration? And as we approach the season of Advent, God, the Good Shepherd, recasts this story again for us on a much larger stage, as God seeks us and finds us in our humanity, in the person of Jesus Christ. God does not give up. And be assured, if you are feeling lost in this season of life, the Good Shepherd is seeking you in this very moment, and God will not give up.